Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we want to say we appreciate your kindness to us and that you saved us when we were lost and undone, and you loved us when we were not only altogether unlovely, you don't say we are even now, but you did love us, Lord, and you made that way for your love to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, faith working by love, and all these things, Father, that we could love you too, as are said by your apostles, whom have you not seen me love, and now we see him not yet believing, we rejoice with joys bigger and full of glory. And that's part, Lord, of this great experience, this joy and this wonderment. And there's the other part, Lord, of the knowledge that you bestowed in this hour, that revealing of the Son of Man, the mystery of Almighty God, beginning from Genesis right on through. Now Christ revealing his own word from Genesis right on through. Seeing these things, we've not seen them before, knowing what's happening in our hour. Lord, we can't see them as far as the human eye is concerned, but we do know that it's happening because we've been given a vindicated revelation. So we thank you for all of these things. Help us tonight to study your word carefully, sincerely, with real respect in our hearts, Lord, and reverence as never before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is going to be number 8 in Christ as revealed in his own word. And just as I was about to come to the pulpit, I was thinking concerning the fact that there is a word in every hour, there is a message in every hour. And one of the great themes of the church ages in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 there particularly, you notice there's the comment of Christ, the Holy Spirit, revealing to the people that they've been giving something to overcome, something to overcome. He that, you know, heareth what the Spirit says. He that hath ears. And it's always precisely a word that is given to overcome. Now then, in this hour, there must be something to overcome. And that is to say, it would be, as Brother Branham put it so clearly, what the gates of hell is against. What is against us that has been given in this hour? We, therefore, knowing that, we can be thoroughly approved of God and thoroughly able to be overcomers. And just examining that one little phrase, the gates of hell. Now, what does a gate signify? Now, every now and then I go by, and up the road I just by here, and it's not too, you know, much to talk about, but I see the farmer was, he ripped some buildings down, and he ripped out some fences, and he put a gate there. Now, there's no fence on either side. There will be, I'm sure, because there's a brand new gate. So, you see, it isn't really a gate. But it's a gate because it's manufactured as such and designated as such. But it's not really a gate. A gate signifies an opening in an enclosure. See? All right, then. Now, then, if the gates are against something, in other words, then that signifies that that is that thing which opens and gets them in the enclosure. So, then, if the gates of hell is against this revelation, then it would tell you plainly that hell will take everything that is not with this revelation. Now you see where everything's got to burn, everything's got to go after this revelation? See, now Jesus categorically said the gates of hell. It was against that revelation of who he was. And remember, at the end time, there has to be another revelation to the Gentiles. That's like Brother Terry brought it up very beautifully, the Redeemer, in Ephesians 1 and 18. And you can see exactly what the revelation is to the church and what the others turn down, and that becomes the opening to the enclosure. And at the end time, hell hath enlarged herself. So then you put the thing together. What does the bride have to overcome? The bride has to overcome everything that's against that revelation. You've got to keep tearing the veils off of your face. See, that's the greatest problem I have with preaching this message. I don't have any problems anymore. I don't go anywhere very much, you know. And, you know, I just sit here and stagnate according to them, you know. And, you know, grump like the old troll and all that sort of stuff. But the funny thing is that when people hear this word, they can be in a backslidden condition, turn right around like that. They can come out of religions that is no religion at all. And they'll tell me even those of utmost repute before the people, they know them to be sincere, wonderful Christians. It's like a rebirth. Well, you see, that the gates of hell cannot overcome this revelation. The revelation that he is here. Now, if you've got all the Baptists and Pentecostals and everybody believing the same thing that he is here, then they can't be believing that he is here in the way that we believe he's here. See? So there's the great thing rely is the revelation. And so you'll see that all of these messages go to that end to make you understand once and for all how does God make himself known. And once you've come to that position, then if there is something available from that position, you have great faith that you're entering into the things of God. But you've got to have the foundation. And the foundation, the church has always been built upon the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. See, in other words, it actually amounts to a capstone. If you're built upon a foundation and Christ the chief cornerstone, what's he telling you? He's telling you that what the apostles have given you is Christ. And you're building on Christ. See, and who is he? The Word. Because he himself is not here, except in the form of the Holy Spirit. So, we're looking at Christ as revealed in his own word, number 8. And in the last message that we took on this series, Brother Branham showed how the prophets, who are the word givers, so revealed Christ in that spoken and written word coming through their ministries, that they spoke in the first person many times, making it difficult for the people to know of whom these prophets were speaking, whether of themselves or another. Now this is an in-depth application of Hebrews 1:1. God in sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers in the prophets. See, you can understand what I'm saying. When you can speak in the first person, you being a human being, that was God in the prophets, and the prophets become God to the people. Now that sits very well all the time. It sits well with people who believe the Bible. Say, yay, yay, yay. We believe prophets wrote the book. Yay, yay, yay. Prophets wrote the book. Why, you can have rah, 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 hold that tiger, sail hell, jump on the bandwagon, glory to God. Let's mow the enemy down. Say, just a minute, a prophet's here in this hour. What are you talking about? They suddenly become dead weight. No more interest in nothing. Stop the speaking in tongues, the dancing in the spirit. Why, you just killed the spirit being. Well, what spirit God killed? You see, the gates of hell is against the entire revelation. There's no way that you can convince people this word needs a revealer. And there's no way you can convince them that a prophet is a revealer. You've got to be born to it. See? So this is an in-depth application to Hebrews 1:1 and shows that the prophets really are God to the people. Never forget to apply this to Brother Branham if you believe that he is Elijah of Malachi 4. He then mentioned that these prophets were taken by God so deep within God's own spirit that like Moses and Daniel and he himself would be left wondering as to what actually had happened. You can get so engrossed and so deep, you can actually be confused, showing that the mind is literally taken over by God. Now, right away, of course, they think that God's a college professor. And he speak always so the beautiful, what is beautiful English? Hogwash. I still believe Dr. Coffin was right. Grammar is the ability to make yourself understood. Not what this dame writes in the Dayton Journal, the Journal Herald, and not what Kilpatrick writes and is on the air about. I don't care how erudite and how precise he is. Don't talk to me about English. I could have majored myself with first-class honors. Because what I went through, I wrote 100%. And I'm just about ready to forget everything and don't care if I do. That's not bandy words, as though God is going to speak perfect English for a bunch of perfect what? Why, the mass couldn't understand him. He spoke too perfectly. Might as well be like the old German lady that knew God spoke German because her Bible was written in German. She said, "Where art thou?" Of course, how did I say that, Pete? Adam? Yeah, that's it, Wubistu. She said, "I know it's because he said, Adam, Wubistu, where are you, Adam?" So she knew it was in. Oh, brother, these erudite people, good old-fashioned people. Now, when her Brother Brandon said the old scrub lady's going to get into the rest stand outside the door. Thus, when the word of the Lord came to the prophet, it was so absolutely of God and so phenomenal that the great prophet and apostle Paul spoke of it in Galatians 1:8 and 1 Corinthians 14:36-37. Now, he said, if an angel from heaven came down to us, Brother Branham said, that's pretty good bait. Flaming great angel came down and changed one word, just boot him out. He's the devil. When Paul himself said, concerning the word of God, he said, what came the word of God out of you? Or it came to you only. If any man considers himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. So somebody's got to be somebody's got to drive the cart. Somebody's got to head up history. Somebody's got to take care of things. Somebody's got to be in control. And this is how God does it. So, where would this place Brother Branham? at the end time, just with Paul and these men. Therefore, the entire Bible is thus saith the Lord word by word. And we're talking about this hour, Brother Branham's ministry. So now we see come to pass in our day, Revelation 22, 18 to 19, when the book is open. It says, seal not the prophecies, the sayings of the prophecy of the book. The Bible is open. What did Jesus do when he opened it? He gave the scripture for that hour, which was self-explanatory at that point. Until further down the road, it wasn't self-explanatory until he said, I've got to die. John the Baptist threw him a mystery, threw him a red-hot riddle. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Lamb of God, what are you talking about? That sounds like a man's going to die for sin. That's forbidden by God's own word. Don't talk about a man dying or he'll die. And they had every right to say that. Because they couldn't be like those of the heathen who walked their children through the fire. They weren't to sacrifice a man's blood. So now you're going to come and say, this man's going to die and everything's going to be fine. They say, you hulk, what are you talking about? And one man rose up and fulfilled scripture. He said, it's best that one man died and the nation perished. Now, on this last day, we got a perfect revelation of the word of God. Brother Branham said, that which is perfect has come. And I admit that's a bone of contention with me, but any man says that which is perfect hasn't come. That which is perfect has come.
Amen.
I don't care how big a scholar he is, PhD and everything else. That's just piled higher and deeper. That's all he's learning. I have no respect for anybody when it comes to this message here and it comes to defending the word. Why should I respect anybody? I'll respect God. I'll respect the prophet. The prophet had that these guys can't dare to approximate. And I don't want to approximate it, but I can sure preach it. I'll pretend to approximate. I don't care if I do or not. As long as I'm right with that word. Then I haven't let anybody down. I let myself down, but I haven't let anybody down. So you can't add a word or take a word. Because the seals have been ripped off the book. That means everything is into manifestation. And he's the prophet that goes right from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Because he's got to be in the mold of Moses. That means to take everything that preceded you to this point and then pass it on to the next. And the next point's millennium. And you're right back to Exodus again. Because that's what Moses did. As soon as he got through with that, he's going to take them right to the millennium. And they rebelled. So if you got in anyway, hallelujah. Here I'm talking of Canaan land, which is a type in that respect. It's not a true type, but it's typing for an Exodus. Now then, with that which is perfect has come, we are back to where the Virgin Eve was just before she added one word given her by another other than God. And the lesson here is that we must not add or take from Brother Branham's message, as he alone had power to say it exactly as it was given him. For he said, I alone have the power to say it exactly as it was said to me, or to tell you exactly as I saw it. Now that's a something peculiar a prophet has. He can sit right down and tell you word for word. Even a scribe anointed by God can sit down and give you word for word what's already transpired. How do you think you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke was written? Even John acted as a scribe. Matthew is simply an apostle, he's no prophet. Mark was just a follower. Luke was a physician. How do you think they got it word for word? The Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit could do that, what did he do with Paul? And what would he do today if we had a prophet in that mold? Well, we're supposed to have a prophet in that mold. Of course, they say give it to the Jews. Well, fine, give him everything. You ain't going to give him what I got. You can give him what you got, that's fine by me, but don't try to give him what I got. My wife and I get along real good, you know. I don't mind her too much giving away all her clothes, but don't you try to give away mine. Boy, she got mad one time I burned up some shoes on her. Never tried it since. But every now and then she thinks when she loses something, I've done burned it on her. So once you get caught in your sins, you know. You ever catch your dog sucking eggs or eating chickens? That does it. So have a little bit of fun with that one. Okay, begin reading in paragraph 130 and page 33. Notice, we must not listen to any other man's word. Any other man's word, what? God's word. Hold it. God never gave that word. The prophet gave the word. You didn't shake God's hand and look God face to face and know that was God's word. You've got ways of knowing it's God's word, but you've got to depend on that man. So here's Brother Branham telling you better not depend on a man's word. We don't care how smart, how educated. The Bible in Proverbs said we must cast down reasoning, see? Reasoning about what? How the word's given. How God does it. What he wants done with it. Now here in this second realm, then he stops. The first realm is your senses of see, taste, feel, smell, hear. That's in your outer body. In the inner body, which is the spirit, are reasonings of thought and so forth. Now, in that inner body is also soul as well as spirit. Body, spirit, soul. So we must cast all that down. You can't reason and say, now wait. If God is a good God, God, you know, do so and so. And we're told so much today that he is. If he's a good God, then if I be sincere, though I can't see that in the Bible being right, though I be sincere, I'll be saved. He said, you'll be lost. Now, this is a matter then of light and life. Not light over here, life over there together. You can't have one without the other. Now, I know people want that, but it won't work. The Bible distinctly says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. It doesn't say it cleanses apart from light. And this is a condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And remember, the evil deed of Cain was a beautiful thing that he did. He sacrificed beautiful things to God. He worshipped. He bowed down before Him. He was sincere. And until the moment of his rebuke, he was a fine, upstanding citizen. But my did he rail on God when God tried to set him straight. Certainly understand these things, brother, sister. All right, now the Bible is above every principle of the philosophy of life and the commandments of men. See? Therefore, whole churches are lost at the end times, and all that are left here are burned. God said so. We had better be right and be sincere about it. If we are willing to excuse the church in this hour, how much do we really believe the prophet? Now, that's what people want me to do. They want me to tippy-toe around and back off. Well, if I'm backing off, how sincere am I? Well, then you got to understand these things to be set for the defense of the gospel. I don't like a hard-nosed stand either. Well, if I'm making you going down the road 75 miles an hour, I don't want the cop to give me a ticket. I'd just say, hey, that's nice driving. I didn't know you could drive that fast and be so good. Well, it doesn't work that way for you. Now, he says here, if I go to church and do just the things that I believe is right, and try to hold up for what I think is right, you're still lost. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, you won't be saved, you'll be lost. See, it must be that inside controlling. Well, what's on the inside? Well, he tells you what's on the inside. he said here, the first realm's your senses, you got, and your reasoning and all that, and you got to cast that off by the inner. There is a spirit. And there's reasonings and thought and so forth. You got to cast that down. So you got to battle on the inside. Now, what's on the inside is going to be your control. I'm going to tell you what to do and how to do it. Let's go to 1 Peter over here just for a second. And that's, I think, about the first chapter in 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, if the rebirth is not according to the word of God, and I mean specifically the Word of God, genuinely, absolutely, you are not born again. And that absolutely means the light. See? Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Predestination is the only answer there is to this whole thing. I could go into personal experiences right now and go back to the very day that I actually began in recognition of Jesus Christ and tell you what my actual prayer was. I can go back 50 years. I can go back more than 50 years and tell you exactly what my prayer was. And that prayer is right today on the dot. And I didn't know one word about anything. Always you've got to understand election predestination, because only the elect will ever see this. It's like a cough out. It's just like a cough out. Jesus pulled a cough out. Paul pulled a cough out. William Branham pulled a cough out. We're pulling a cough out. We're saying, well, only the elect see it. But it's no cough out. It's the word of God. Well, I spoke in tongues, Brother Branham. Well, don't you believe in speaking in tongues, Brother Branham? Absolutely, I believe in speaking in tongues. Well, I shudder. Don't you believe that? Yes, sir. I live a good Christian life. Don't you believe? Yes, sir. But still, that doesn't mean you're saved. Now, that's where I get my lumps from, all these sweet little boys. You're a good person, clean, moral, holy, good person. So were those priests. Religious to the core. So religious till one misconstrued, they'd be stoned to death. The death penalty of fooling with the Word of God was death. In other words, he meant the penalty of fooling with the Word of God is death, or there's a death penalty for fooling with the Word of God. All right. And where does that leave gifts and virtues and fruit? And even love, unless one is identified with the word of the hour. See, that's what we preached on love here. You can talk about love all you want, and I preach it, every form of love and every degree of love. Thank God for love, love, love. But it won't get you anywhere unless you've got this light. And you can say the love of God is shed abroad in my heart and manifested, and if you haven't got the light, that's a lie. As Terry said, Lee, there's one thing I like about your preaching. You make definitive statements. I thought, what's coming out? He said, I like pricked my ears up. He's almost took my head off when I heard you say, if a man says he's got the token, that man's a liar. He said, he pricked his ears up. And that's the truth, because the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You have a portion. You have a modicum. You have a little teeny bit. As the scripture said, God hath given to us of his spirit. He didn't give you his spirit.
He gave of His Spirit. That's not a matter of semantics. It's not a matter of grammar and fine speech and beautiful division. It's beautiful division of the Word of God because it is the Word of God. You see, you've got to be definitive. Not trying to hurt anybody. You say, well, that's negative. You took those guys. I don't put anybody out. What I'm trying to do is to show you if you've got that Word, then you've got that real, genuine love. And if it's not manifesting, begin to look at it and get the things out of the way. Because there's a willingness in there. That's where rewards and things come from. See? Bond servant of Christ. Ah, now listen. All other sins can be covered. Murder, adultery, etc., etc., except this sin of turning down light. Let's find out. We go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Now let's start reading way up here. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that's to say His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's our position right today. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke, that's to incite to paroxysms of love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. And as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What are they doing? They're getting people to come to church regularly. Now, I don't say much about it. Brother Pete says more than I do about it, but I put my 2 cents in every now and then. But I'm going to tell you something. Those who stay away from church and know they're doing it, they're in bad shape. Because if you could, there might come a time when you, even with appendicitis, you would to God you could crawl here and even try to crawl here. Because there's something going on. See? There's something going on. Now, as you see the day approach, now I'm going to tell you the day is already here. You bet it's already here. We stay current in these services. We don't look down the road and look way back. We stay current. You get information all the time from these messages. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You turn down the light, there's what it is. There's no blood. That's why Brother Branham could say the blood was, there was a chemistry before, but now we're truly under the blood. You can really apply the blood today. Why? Because you've got the light. You know what that's going to do, Brother Sitz? That's going to put us into immortality. Listen, we're not back in Luther's day, Pentecost today. We are reaching for the tree of life. There's people here not going to die. I believe that. Now, I don't want to be one of them necessarily, because I might be a long way off, some time off yet. But the way I feel these days, in spite of the fact that I don't feel so great sometimes, I could live forever. Now, of course, not in this condition, fooey. This is no millennium. No resurrection hasn't taken place. I'm waiting, brother, sister. Let's get that flat, because as in the first church age, people were all messed up in the day of Paul with the resurrection. Some said it was past everything else. They're saying the same stupid thing right today. I'm going to tell you, they're antichrist. They're devil-possessed or something. Oh. Come on. If we sin willfully, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto the witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, counted the blood of the covenant with you sanctified and holy thing, and done desperate under the Spirit of grace. Well, they say, I don't believe I've done that. Well, they do it by turning down the Word. Look, brother, sister, He was Word before He became flesh, and now He's still Word in the pillar of fire. I don't know what people's thinking is. I can tell you the thing it is. It's wrong thinking. There's only one man had the mind of Christ. That was William Branham. There's only one man knew that was William Branham. Oh, people don't want that. Oh, give us a seminary. This fine Greek student, this fine fellow. I don't care 2 bits for any fine fellow. They're worth a plug nickel anyway. They're as rotten as I am. All my sins are cruddy, stupid things. I wish I'd had some good sins. Might as well go to hell for some good sins, cruddy little things, you know, they're... Some of you sitting here, you're worse than I am even. You never had as good a sins as I had. You were brought up too tame. Right, Ruthie? Some of you sweet girls, I tell you. You're born sweet, you live sweet, and you die sweet, but the sweetest of the Holy Ghost I can see, and you're just the same above all the other. I can see that. Certainly, understand these things, brother, sister. Old Boo Cribbin said the same thing. He troubled you guys. He don't think you don't need a Savior, but you've all been so self-righteous. He said, go out and sin! And come on back. That's exactly right. Now, we don't advocate that here. I'm just telling you that people can get so mixed up in their lives. They don't. There's no way the Scripture breaks through. It's pitiful, brothers. I mean pitiful. See? Right in the church today, this has gone on. Do you understand why there's going to be a burning? Why there won't be anybody left on this earth? Nobody left? We're not back to the days of Noah, brother, sister. This is different. It's only the setting's the same. Only the judgment's the same, but it's a different form. It's going to be fire this time. That sounds pretty awful. When the atomic blast will get rid of you quicker than water will, you sit and stand the stuff and drown. God knows what he's doing. We'll talk about that a little later on. Time goes so fast, I get moving. Oh, you better pray for me, you people. If you're smart, you pray for me. My sermon's over with a clicker. For we know that he has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Vengeance. The second Thessalonians, he's coming in vengeance. The great avenger to tell who's right and tell who's wrong. If God ever says the right thing, that is tell you something about a person that's right, he's got to tell you about the wrong one. If there's a blessing, there's got to be a curse. If there's a curse, there's got to be a blessing. Understand these laws, brother, sister. You've got to understand. There's no room not to understand these things. That's a beautiful part of it. Again, he said the Lord will judge his people. Well, he's already done it. You're the spotless virgin bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who could say that but a vindicated person? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call remembrance of former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured the fight of afflictions. Before you were illuminated, you didn't have a fight. Oh, merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along over the wide blue sea or something. Oh, we had a great time. Oh, just roll along, have a great time. Oh, yeah, drawing sin like with a cart rope. Had a great time. People just say, well, the sinner's not happy. I say, oh, come on, you nuts. What stupid preacher said a sinner wasn't happy? Is a hog not happy with his swilly slop and having a good time? The bird-brained chicken picking on the sour milk and stuff, and the horse manure, not having a good time? Oh, come on. Don't be children or idiots. The pleasures of sin. Where do you get in trouble? The minute the light strikes and you take the light. Paul was the greatest guy living next to the Gamaliel until the light struck. And from then on, he's the biggest bum under creation. Long as he was killing people for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But let him now talk about the Christ. Oh, brother, sister, he was dead. He was gone. You know that. You endure. That's where the pressure comes in the home. Father and mother against children. Father against mother. Mother against father. Aunts and uncles, the whole house divided. You don't see many homes that are united. Well, my mother's a sweet mother. She's a United Presbyterian. Well, I'm glad you admitted that she's united to the Presbyterian, not united to God. Yeah, but there's no yeah, but. You say, well, in my case, in your case, you just showed you haven't got it. You made an excuse for the church. Then you don't believe this message. I'm not trying to be tough. I got nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this message. Not one thing. I had nothing to do with it. But now that I believe it, everything to do with it. Now I'm stuck. And I'm glad I am. You know, I'd sooner drown in honey than this stuff out there. Now, partly while you made a gazing stock, both of reproaches and afflictions. And partly while you became companions of those that were so used. It'll come to the place that if you even know somebody, if somebody knows you, they're going to be ostracized. You had compassion on me and my bonds and took joy despoiling your goods, knowing in yourselves you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. On what grounds? The light that struck. The light that struck took away everything that you had and gave you everything you didn't have. Made insecure everything you had and made secure everything you didn't have. Made you understand the resurrection was everything and this was nothing. You're just walking around on some old hearse. You're going to disintegrate. The old one hoshe. Oh, brother, who needs it? Cast not away there for your confidence, great recompense reward. What confidence? Where'd you get it? Light! You got no confidence in Christ outside of light. These people got a false confidence, a false faith. We've got a true faith, a true confidence. There's a big difference. That's why they don't have real faith. The Bible says all men have not the faith. That's 2 Thessalonians. Every virtue has a counterfeit. That's where everybody talks, love, 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 love. We've got love. Who is God? The eighth one is not a virtue, brother, sister. The eighth one is the person from whom seven virtues come. There's seven divisions in the church, humanly speaking, but there's eight. And the eighth is divine. And the love of God that you have shed abroad in your heart is not God who is love. That's the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is love, and you've got that Holy Ghost. That's real love. That's God. Now you got what emanates from it. And you're going to tell me that Holy Ghost, who is love, which is God, and now has a derivative, which is a virtue of fruit, called love, and is going to take anything but from the source. Fact. Seed is original, stays that way. Soon as man monkeys with it, it gets all messed up. It is if they never hybridize wheat and all these things to get a bigger and better crop, we'd be eating food today that's good for us. We haven't got any food anymore. Brother Brand said there's nothing left in the soil. Then science wants to come along and replicate or do something about it. They're trying to make a formula, and that's perfectly fine by me. It'll get great big wheat, great big this, but it cannot do what God's original did. Nobody's going to tell me that. Can't do it. Because God's original all depended upon life. He never took chemicals out of the ground except the way he wanted them, by volcanoes and erosion of water and storms and all those things. Didn't run them through a mill. Come out refined, which is pure poison in the long run. Plants didn't die like they're dying today. Insects couldn't survive like this, survive today. The Russians proved that with the Kirlian photographs. The bugs attack the plants that's dying. That's the way you are. They attack you when you're dying. God didn't want us to mess her in, but man made himself. That's why the earth got full of violence. Because there's corruption. The earth got corrupted. What about phosphorus that got spilled down here? What about the junk what the PCB is they called up in the lakes up there? What do you think that's going to do to you? They can't reverse it. So God says, I'll destroy those that destroy the earth. You see, man does not want light. He's never wanted a light. He'll never want light of himself. It's all predestination, all election and foreknowledge. See? Now it says, cast not away your confidence, a great recompense reward. You got need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise for a little while, and he that will come and will not tarry. Now that's our case right now. You read this right for this hour. We're going to meet him in the air pretty soon. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Draw back from what? Light! When you do, you draw back from the blood. Now you see why for the first time in the seven ages, from the first age to this age, now we're back to Ephesus. The blood is just like freshly spilled. The living, flowing force of Calvary. Before it was just the chemistry, as it were. The life is here with us. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, unto chaos. See? We are those of perfection, aren't we? But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Notice it's the soul. All right, we understand that. Now, paragraph 133, that's what's matter with our country today. The reason we got so many loose leaf things in the other words, things that are flying apart. The penalties are not strong enough. If a man was caught running out with another man's wife, they should both be taken out in public and castrated right in public and turned loose. Now, that's an R-rated sermon like mine. That's right. If a man's caught doing anything wrong down the road, speeding, ought to be not given less than 10 years. It's premeditated murder. He's exactly right. That's the truth. It's the same with drinking. I've taken my strand against drinking for years. If a man takes drink into his body, knowing what it'll do, he should be absolutely liable for murder, anything else he does. And he should have to pay for the widow. If he's left widow and kids, he should be forced to sustain the widow and kids. You bet you better have some sense. Oh, thank God it's all going to burn, Brother Sitchin. I'm not speaking self-righteously now. I'm just telling the truth. Look, if I got to burn with it, then get me out of the way, Lord. Just give somebody a chance, that's all. See? But you put penalties on like that, they'll slow down. You'll slow down. But when some crooked politician can get this one over here and pass it off and say, well, he was drinking a little, he didn't mean to do that, and you'd kill a wife, a man, a wife, and a whole bunch of innocent children, and let that Ricky get by with it, that's politics. That's the world, that's the devil. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sitchin. Even though this does take place, you can still get right with God if you turn to the light. In spite of politics. That doesn't stop people. God said if a man was caught in adultery or a woman, they'd take him on stone to death. That settled it, see? If you're even caught picking up a weight of a stick on Sabbath day, take him, stone him. They lived by that. Now, see, we don't have these kinds of laws today, but the Christian, the church, what I'm talking to this morning, the law of God's in your heart, see? You have no desire to do that. That is what's wrong. It's inside here. You want God, you want to keep God's law so perfect. No matter what it is, you want to be just, that. If God needs a doormat at the door, and he wants you to be that doormat, you're happy to be that. Now, let's talk up here. Now, it said here, now if a person was caught in adultery, they were to be stoned. Picking up a stick, they were to be stoned. Now, they did that for a while. But how long did they do it? That's my question. They ever conveniently made the woman a prostitute, let the man go. Now, it takes two to tango. No woman commits adultery by herself. Now, she can abuse herself like a man can abuse himself. He calls himself abuse. But that's not adultery. That's not fornication. How come man got so high and mighty that he was going to just make the woman the scapegoat? Well, it's a type of the church. The world always makes the scapegoat, makes the true bride the scapegoat. They blame her. That's why Nero blamed her for the burning down of the city. They say he did it himself. See? Now, remember, God does not wink at sin. He still has these laws in here, and he demands justice. But of course, if a man turns to God, and they won't turn because they don't want the light. Now he said here, you just keep God's law in your heart. You live it. And if God wants you to be a doormat, you be that doormat and you be happy. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean here that, that God wants to just take each one and tromp us all down? No, he's telling you. Paul says, if I am not the eye, I'm merely a toe. He said, am I not part of the body? He said, there's comely parts and uncomely parts. What if God gives some of us a place that is just like a ho-hum-hum-drum thing? See, now women go to a church, and they hear a false teacher get up and say, now, the woman, she better evangelize. She better go and be a missionary. And the women see that the men aren't doing it. So now they get really moving, just like Eve. Old Adam was too far down there pruning the fig tree. Messing around with the plums and the pears. But she was hot right there with old Satan. Jabber, jabber, jabber. She had no business jabber, jabber. She should have been back there picking up the sticks after he got cutting them off. No, she had to be out there messing around. So now they go preaching everything else. You can't hold them down. See? They're not what his brother Brown said the woman should be. She should get married and bear children, be a good wife and a good mother. And stay in that position. Do her husband the service. And now he's not, now he doesn't come home and make her a doormat. He recognizes how wonderful she is and how helpful, and he just builds her up. And she builds him up. You got a happy, happy family unit. And you got a good family unit, then that goes to the city. The city goes to the counties. The counties go to the state, and the state goes to a nation. And pretty soon you got things that are really right. He doesn't mean a doormat so someone's going to tramp all over you. It means to understand that there are positions that, and often when you come to every position, there's no position in Christ that doesn't have its trials and tribulations. The formative process is a building character. And that always takes a knife under the fifth rib and thorns in your feet and so on. See? It also means don't try to carry the ball if somebody else is carrying the ball. All I've ever seen is competition. I don't like competition. That's why I quit having meetings, and I'm very slow now about moving again toward meetings. I may just suddenly cut the idea off of Labor Day just like this if I feel God doesn't want it. Now, just because there was a beautiful meeting here doesn't mean there'll be another one. But we prayed about feeling the waters, and it tested beautiful. Where two people could be in perfect continuity in one word by the Holy Ghost. I got the place where I'd be just one person do it. And I don't care what that person is, not necessarily me, just one person do it. But now we see the moving with the Spirit of God moving. See? So we don't know. But if somebody's carrying the ball, let him carry the ball. See? No matter what God wants you be that. Because God wants that for you. Then that would be the best, wouldn't it? Now that's where you really find your real, genuine, true love for God. Now that's where you really find your real, genuine, true love for God. In other words, that you'll be in the place where God wants you to be. That is the word. See what we're talking about? Bond slaves. Owned by him, for we're bought by him, and not just bought, but we're bound to him. We're one with word and doctrine and action in him. Now, paragraph 135. Now, we find out then that if an angel would preach anything else beside what's come and already been said in the Bible, let him be cursed. Nobody can do that. It must be just exactly the way it said it. Now then, what about Brother Branham's message here? He tells you that no prophet, not William Branham, can come and say anything unless it's already said in the Bible. Then why did he say it doesn't have to be in the Bible? Well, show me where the three isms are in the Bible and all come together. See? Show me where he knew what Hitler was going to do, Mussolini was going to do, and Stalin was going to do. He could prophesy these things because they are relative to the politics of the world and the church. But what comes to the spiritual had to be already lying in the Word, or he would have been guilty of adding to it. Now his big trouble would be what? Interpreting, not misinterpreting, not dislocating, and not misplacing. And only a prophet could do that. So then the good comes up here. What about this message we have today? It's a tremendous message. And anybody that changes what the prophet said and doesn't believe it's in the Word, he's got a curse coming. Now that's one reason why I appreciate so much the Lord showing me so many things that Brother Branham says, just like they're off the cuff. Like God giving the gift of His Son in this last day in the, in the form of the Holy Ghost. You can find that in the Bible. It's right in there which you quoted from the 17th verse of First of Ephesians. Now, again we read in Revelation 22, 18, 19, if any man will add one word to this or take one word from it, God will take his part of the book of life. That's right, God will take his part. There will be a minister. Whatever he may be, and his word, his name is written in the book of life. God said, I'll just rub it off. That's right, if he adds one thing or takes one word from it. Now notice, where Brother Branham starts quoting here in Revelation 22, 18, 19, after having said what he said up here, you know, picking up sticks and this and that and the other thing, you notice that after balancing faith and works, he comes right back to the penalty of marring the Word. You see? Now, what was it that caused the penalty back here? Marring the Word. Then what about now? Marring the Word. See? And remember, they marred the Word by misinterpretation. They marred the Word by not listening. They marred the Word by reasoning. So therefore, any marring of the Word is adding or taken from it, and God eliminates the name. He erases it. God just rubs it off. Now, he says here, God just rubs it off. So therefore, we know God is not obligated to back any church. And the only reason he backs the bride is because she's one with the Word. He doesn't back her any other reason. He said, I stand behind my Word to perform it. Now that's how infallible God has made His Word, see? You can add to the church or you can take from the church, but you don't add to the Word or take from the Word. Because God will take the name right off the book of life. And you're finished then, see? You can't add it or take from it. That's exactly right. Now you notice what he said there? See, he said, you do that and you're finished. See? In other words, that would be literally blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Because that's the unforgivable sin. Now remember, back there in the Revelation 3 and 1, that's the fifth church age, I do believe. The number 5. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Sardis write, these things said he that hath seven stars, spirits of God and the seven stars. I know their works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. There you are. Lutherans. Oh, they live Lutheran all right, and they're dead. Wesleyans live Wesley, and they're dead. Pentecost lives Pentecost and gifts, and they're dead. We live Christ, and we're alive. We don't have a name except His name. The inheritance of Jesus is His Father's name, and it's in us. See? Absolutely. Now, can't add or take from it. Of course, the elect will not do that. And again, you notice he's pointing up to his vindicated ministry that he said, leave it alone, don't touch it. Now, paragraph 137. It needs no interpreter, for the Bible said that God does his own interpreting the Bible. It's of no private interpretation, said Peter. All right, now how does he interpret it? By manifesting and explaining. It's not just manifested, it's got to be explained. You can see a man like William Branham come on the scene and manifest. Everybody says, hallelujah. Nobody says, Brother Branham, what does this mean? Isn't that strange? They all said that. Like a bunch of nincompoops. Well, don't feel too bad, because remember, they didn't that dare ask Jesus questions either. There's a pall falls on you when you're around a man like William Branham, and you don't ask too much. But what people came and said, Reverend Branham, this great ministry, what does it mean? They didn't ask, so he told them. Well, they said, now he's gone nuts. Forget it. He's puffed up. He thinks he's Elijah. Beat it, Charlie. Beat it. I mean, there's some kind of a dope like Charlie Brown. You better search the scripture and find out how God works. And all the scripture is divinely given, divinely set in order, and the whole thing is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Didn't Christ say, search the scripture? For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify in me. Now he said, if you search the scripture and you get it right, you're going to find one thing. It testifies to me. Christ revealed in his own word. Just what the prophet said. So search it. Now, Christ is revealed, of course, if it is not misplaced, dislocated, or misinterpreted. And he is in every book of the Bible. And he's in every word of the Bible. Listen, this message also, because it's Christ revealed and Christ is here. That's what it's about. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He's in every single book. Can you place this message in Genesis? Certainly. Can you place it in Exodus? Certainly. Can you do it in Numbers? Yes. In Leviticus? Yes. In Deuteronomy? Yes. In Joshua? Yes. In Judges? Yes. In Samuel? Yes. In Kings? Yes. In Chronicles? Yes. In Job? Yes. In Psalms? Yes. In Proverbs? Yes. In Ecclesiastes? Yes. Songs of Solomon? Perfectly. Isaiah? Yes. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, down the Rhine. Every single, right down to Malachi, right through the Bible. Every single place is this message. That's why you had a prophet of this caliber and what he did. That shows that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. It's one God, the same one. No way, brother, sister, can you fool that one. The Old and New Testament. The New and Old Testament, where they foretold of him coming. What he would do when he got here. And what he would do in this age. See? Now, what would he do in this age to make him the same yesterday, today, and forever? What would he do if he was here in the Spirit and manifested himself to be the same in this age? Then he would do the works now in the Spirit, what he did in the flesh. That is Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew 12 and Genesis chapter 18 and Acts 3. They're all in there. We take them time after time. Like in Hebrews there when Paul wrote it. He's God, Jesus Christ yesterday of the Old Testament. He's Jesus Christ today, manifest in the flesh. And he's Jesus Christ forever in the Spirit to come, see? Same yesterday, day, and forever. And he ever lives to make his word live. What he said it would do for that age, he is alive. All right, what was the hour today? The hour of the sign of the resurrection. No sign should be given this generation but the sign of the prophet Jonas. See? Here are three church ages gone by. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. And it's in the third day that he's got to come to. So he sent a messenger unto the Pentecostal age. And the Pentecostal age, we come into them and leave the Laodicean Pentecostal age into the age of the bride. Because we're going to be right here while this age goes down. Now we'll miss the burning. Don't worry about that. He was alive in the Old Testament manifested. He's alive today, of course, too. Now, I just want to let you see a little something here, if you can stand it. Watch. When Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament, as we believe it, now, you preachers out there, you can argue with it. Do whatever you want, but I'm talking from what I think, see? All right, now listen. We're going into this one. We're going to go into Genesis 14, 17 to 20, and Hebrews 7, 1 to 3 on Melchizedek here. Now, when Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament in a theophany, in the person of Melchizedek, not a priesthood, but the person, the man, see, for this man had not yet been born, but he was in a theophany, so he had no father, no mother. He was God himself. He was manifested in the form of a man called King of Salem, which is King of Peace and King of Righteousness, see. He was Melchizedek. He had neither father, mother, beginning of days, or ending of life. See, with Jesus in the theophany, in the form of a man, could you go that? All right. I'm going to read it my way. In the Old Testament, the manifestation of Jesus was as a theophany, which was the form of a king called Melchizedek. I'll read it again. In the Old Testament, the manifestation of Jesus was a theophany. Or I could say in the Old Testament, one time when Jesus wanted to appear before the people, he manifested himself in the form of a theophany, the form of a king called Melchizedek. Note well, therefore, that Melchizedek is a person, a man, and is certainly not a priesthood, as some will say. Notice, he had no father and no mother, beginning of days or end of life. He was God himself manifested in the form of a man who was king of righteousness and king of peace. Surely we can see that this was Jesus as a theophany in the form of a man. This same one who would take on human flesh and be born, we call it in the year 0 AD, year 1. Now he said, could you go for that? Now the reason I read it this way was because Brother Branham said here, for this man had not yet been born, but he was in a theophany. I think he meant there, for this man had never been born, because there's no genealogy, no records. But he could also mean he had not yet come to the place of birth, which he hadn't. Here. Now let's go to paragraph 141. Let me see something else here just before I go there. You notice he says here that this, when Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament, he came in the form of the offering, the person of Melchizedek. In other words, he was a king. All right. When you speak of a substance or expression or manifestation like Logos, which is the expression, and that's a substance also, you don't put aside the substance of God. You understand what I'm saying? When you speak of manifestation, you're talking of who is being manifested. That's God. You say, well, here's the person of a king that God created upon earth here. That's very good, but don't put aside God. Because the substance or the expression has to contain the thought or what's behind it. Now, what's behind that theophany? God. Then what does the theophany convey? Or contain, contains God. See, that's why Jesus was God. And more reason than one, too, because remember, God took of himself and threw the attributes into chemistry. Then he, God, Melchizedek, was made actually human flesh, and dwelled among us in the person of Jesus Christ himself, born of the Virgin Mary. He came in that form that he could die. Now, the body was born. Melchizedek, as a body, was not born, but his figure was created. The body of Jesus was a theophany, but of a different kind. Because the word theophany means showing forth of God. The word theophanero actually, or phanero means actually to show in his true character and characteristics and quality so that there is no pseudo-manifestation. This is God, period. What he's like and how he acts, this is essentially God. We saw Jesus, we essentially saw God. So he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Was no tricky setup of words, brother, sister. He came in the form so he could die and went back into heaven. Now in this last days, he's promised to manifest himself in the fullness again of his flesh in spirit. In other words, he's going to be exactly in the form of the spirit what he was exactly in the form of flesh. Now notice, in these last days. All right. In these last days, that's what are we talking about? This Jesus that manifested as King of Salem. Now he's in a human form. This makes him Hebrews 13:8. In this last days also, what did Brother Branham say? He said, in this last days, God has given the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. So now what do you see? You see Melchizedek? You see the Son of Man? You see the whole thing here? You see the judge? Everything. See? For as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now this is called a coming, because that's what the Bible calls it. And it's called a revelation. And of course this coming is a period of time. And this same period of time is what's over there in Malachi. The day of the Lord. So the Lord is here while the prophet is here, and the revelation is here, and the manifestation is here. So it's a period of time. And it's got to repeat the crucifixion, the indictment, the whole thing. It's going on now. The prophet is gone. John the Baptist is gone. So who's here? He is here. What's he here for? To lead us into the millennium. What's he going to do first? Raise the dead. But he's the Son, so he's the ripener. Doesn't the Son ripen? So he's the ripener. Also, you might as well know the truth. He's the healer of the breaches. That bridge Terry spoke of the other day. Now look at Sodom, how it sat. No, look at Sodom, how it sat. And what has taken place. And Jesus being manifested in bodily form of his church today, doing the same things. Now, we'll go to paragraph 158 later on. We'll see that. Doing the same things, the same work, same things he did all the time, never changes, the eternal one. And upon earth today, he has manifested himself in the, now watch this, in the human bodies, our human bodies, that he has called, and he's done exactly the same thing he did in sundry time. Now hold it. Now hold it, right there. Watch this. And upon earth today, he has manifested himself in human bodies, in the human bodies, our human bodies that he has called. And he's done exactly the same thing he did in sundry time. And in times of his flesh upon the earth, in times multiplied. What's he talking about? He's not talking about the body. Every Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Here's your false anointed. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's enter in. Glory. Brother Branham showed us the way. Oh, gifts. Hallelujah. Let's just march in there and take the word over. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. You better read it carefully. He's talking about prophet. Sundry times got to do with prophet. And he said, if the hand does it, the body does it. And he got angry with interference. And yet you know nobody had what he had. And how's he going to say bodies? He threw him a curb, brother, sister. It went 18 feet over their head, but they sure swung at it. And doing the same thing today because God in sundry times spoke to the fathers through the prophets. In this last days, through his son, Jesus Christ, the son being revealed in the last day, God manifested in human flesh. What's that? That's prophet. Setting just before Sodom destruction, the end of the Gentile world. You see it? There's three manifestations. What three manifestations? Sodom, 30 AD, and now. God working in threes. There again, you see, the prophet. Bringing out his ministry and putting it on the bride. Because if he did it, the bride did it. You see? Notice, Son of Man versus the pillar of fire. Brother Branham, I thought the pillar of fire is the Son of Man. People are saying, you are. He said, I am not he, and the pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Spirit. What was happening? That pillar of fire right there, there's the prophet, and watch the man talk, watch the thing come into perfect manifestation, and say, what did that? You, Brother Branham? No, the Holy Spirit did it. Well, the pillar of fire do it? No. Only indirectly. It was done through a prophet. Because the pillar of fire can't be seen except by a prophet, can't be heard except by a prophet. You'd be surprised how people think they hear God. I did it one time too, but I realized that's, no. Now, the next thing happens is when it's all gathered up into that one person, Jesus Christ, bride and body, at the physical return of the Lord Jesus, making his three times when he's brought on earth, killed, crucified, raised up, manifested himself in the form of his body, which is his bride, the woman. True, very true. But she never constitutes prophecy. And the word never comes to a body. Brother Brand said it only comes to one man. What's he talking about? It's another curve if you don't understand what he's saying. But notice how it all goes back on the bride. Just as we are completely Christ-identified. The bride is completely Christ-identified, and now we're completely prophet-identified as though we had received the revelation on our own direct from God. We are not one whit behind, for the same manna that Moses brought down and ate, so the people ate. The same word that God gave him was given to the people. See? Partakers. There is no difference. People just don't want God to have his way and do it the way God wants it. But notice how he puts the body all one. Why, this message, it's uniting time. How's the uniting? By the word. It's uniting time. See? You get it. She's part of his body. And the woman and man are just so close together till they're almost, they are the same. They ought to be anyhow. He's talking about a physical marriage. This is a real marriage. We are one. There you are, see? They are just exactly manifested the same. She's a part of him because she's taken out of him. So now what's happened today? The bride has taken her place, showing the world that she has the true rights upon the husband. She's the legal wedded wife. You say, how? Because the prophet demonstrated the word to a people, and the people that took the word is the bride. Man, listen up. Here's the bride and the bridegroom standing here, and here's the preacher. And you got a huge audience out there. Well, when she says I do and he says I do, is that the audience? No, it's bride and groom. So you got 5 billion people out here. And a few thousand, if that many, bride. Who's saying I do to the world? 5 billion people? Hogwash. You don't even know it's there. There's a wedding going on. The espousal. Uniting time. See? They're manifested the same. They are manifestly the same. They've got to be because she's the same substance he is. Wasn't Eve the same substance Adam was? Wasn't Eve only everything that Adam was? Except a multiplication of cells? Certainly. She was in him in total. Then God multiplied some cells. Perfect identification. So are we taken out of the side of Jesus Christ. The same substance we were in him. And he became the total manifestation of God. And we in our order, then will become a total manifestation of God with him in the ages to come. And we are the manifestation right now. Because he cannot be seen. People don't like that, but it's the truth. Remember, the blood covers. She's part of him because she's taken out of him. That's the bride. And the bride today is taken out from the body of Christ, which is acting and doing exactly just like he, Jesus, did. Did it. Would do for his day, the bride, like he said, and is doing just exactly like he said it would do for this day, the bride and queen, the king and queen. The king is here. The bridegroom is here. The judge is here. God is here. Melchizedek, you name it. It's altogether lovely. The lily of the valley. One day we're going to crown him king of kings and lord of lords when he's incarnated. Because you can't crown a disincarnated body. Or disincarnate spirit. Notice what he said. Bride and queen. King and queen. He said here, and the bride today is taken out of the body from the body of Christ, which is acting and doing just exactly like he said. Which is acting? Who's doing the acting? Christ. How's it coming through a bride? Good Brother Brand's part of the bride. Not coming out of the churches. The entire Bible is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, making himself known in every age. He made himself known in the days of Luther as a foundation, the church, the foot, the leg, like he did in King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember how he dreamed those dreams. It came from the head down, see? Now it comes from the feet up, see? In the Babylonian kingdom, he showed all those Old Testaments. He came, in other words, in the Old Testament days. He came from the head down until he come down to God himself, become flesh at the foot of the ladder. Now here in the New Testament, brings himself right back up again, the head again. The head of gold to be crowned. He's the head of gold. When? In the air. The spirit amongst it becomes incarnate. See, look. Look, you get it? See, God was in the beginning, and he kept coming down. See? Coming down through theophany forms, coming down through flesh, the prophets, until now he was the great prophet. He kept coming down through the prophets, and on down till God himself became human like us, plumbed down at the foot of the ladder, a baby born in a manger, hated, rejected, despised, and a bad name, and everything he was. Then he started rising, see? And from the feet he began to build the church, the bride, coming back, on back, and coming out into the headstone, coming out into the headstone. Now, it doesn't say coming up to the headstone, meaning in the air. It's coming out into the headstone. See, the Holy Spirit coming up from the feet, working up. Now, the Holy Spirit moving up, the measure, till there's no more left. All that was there. Then what are you going to do? You're going to meet the one that put it there. So now you come right up to the head. And Brother Branham said, headstone is here. Where it all joins together and makes one great transfigured body of Jesus Christ. In other words, that which is perfect has come. The perfection then goes from that which is perfect, which is a perfectly revealed word of God. God himself on the scene, and a bride in the utmost of what you might call consummation. Perfection, finishing off. All one with the groom. Absolutely. And she's going to go into immortality. See, God himself, the cornerstone, has now become the headstone. See? Now, God is revealed in every age by his promised word. That age. Now, let's look what some of his promises are for today while we're closing now in these last words. Now, God is revealing himself in the evening light time. We're going to stop right there because we can finish up the rest of this message on Sunday. Now, he tells you right here, he's come up to the place where there's going to be light. We're right back to the place of light again. Right back to revealed word. And that's exactly where the whole question rises. What has God done in this last day that absolutely entitles him to bring about a judgment? Okay. All right, that's fine for tonight. Shall we just rise in at this time and be dismissed? Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for helping us to see more and more positionally the age which is positioned in this time, and we positioned with this age, and what is positioned in the age, and how things are going on. It's a positioning, a positioning, a positioning. It's you having descended with the shout, the klusma, the message, the positioning of the people, showing where all these things are and where we are. And now we understand what is going on as never before. Lord, if we're missing something, we pray that you'll illuminate our hearts and minds to know it, because we do not want to miss anything. Lord, we pride ourselves, but not obnoxiously, I trust, upon not looking back or looking ahead, but wishing to know what is in this moment, what is in this hour, what is going on. And by your grace, Lord, we believe that we have seen these things and acknowledge them now that we understand them. And hopefully, Lord, we shall see more of what we acknowledge to have transpired, which at this point we don't understand, but we do know that which is perfect has come, and we know that time is blended with eternity, and as the Brother Branham said in the seventh seal, everything just runs plumb out. And so, Father, we know that everything is running out. Though that would be sufficient for us, we in a certain measure, we know there are many things that go with that, such as the understanding of the times of Elijah, the times, Lord, of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the times of Noah. All these things are coming in here, like the time of the Exodus. All these things mean something to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you just continue to show us, and we become so thoroughly understanding in these things, and our knowledge so great in revelation, that we become literally carried over on the tide of the blessing and the goodness and the majesty of our God, knowing, Lord, that there are certainly waters to carry us over, and we are in that depth today. Help each every single one of us, Lord, to just be happy in thee and to be a doormat if necessary. If a little finger or a little strand of hair, some little thing, Lord, that's good for the body, nobody getting anybody's way, but each in praying for each other and helping each other and honor preferring each other, looking out for each other in a spiritual manner, Lord, until there is a bearing and a forbearing, which is in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and a love that is holy and almighty God, and we just go on together until that real sweet Spirit that's amongst us now comes further and deeper and more magnificent, more amongst us, until every one of us is healed, and then, Lord, every one of us is changed into a resurrection and getting out of here. Father, we know that that's what it's all about today, or we've misread something somewhere. And I don't believe we have. I believe, Lord, we're reading it the way you'd have us to read it, and we're very grateful. So therefore, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You love him tonight? I'm sure you do. You just simply can't keep going on in these messages and not come into a deeper depth of not just revelation, but the deeper depth of appreciation and sincerity, knowing what the Lord God has done for us. Fine. So let's just go then, singing, take the name of Jesus with you, and pray for the services coming up and the people that we heard mentioned tonight.